realize that God wants us to understand that it's more than just Sunday. Yeah. What we do and how we act and how we behave ourselves has got to have a mindset and got to have a behavior of more than just Sunday. You know, I was thinking about when you fill your car up and you go to the gas station and you fill your car up, you are praying and you're hoping that your car will go more than just one day. Yeah. When you put that 65, 75, or whatever amount of gas in your tank, you are praying and you're hoping that it can at least make it. And most of us are praying, if you work, and see, I don't work anymore, but when I was working, I was hoping that that gas tank would make it to the next paycheck. Somebody is in here understand what I'm saying. You're hoping that when you fill that tank up and you watch, when you pull up into the gas station and you watch that meter change at 329 or 319 or 305 or whatever the amount the gas might be, when you pull up there and you have that amount of change or that amount of money or whatever it is that's in your account or whatever it is that you have in your mind, and you've already have got that amount in your mind before you even drive into the gas station, you already know how much you can put in there. If you don't have enough to fill your tank up, you know exactly how much you can put in there, and in your mind, somewhere in the back of your mind, you don't know if what you're going to put in there is going to last long enough to do what it is you need to do for that week ahead. You know what I'm talking about. You got $10 and you're hoping they can make till you get the next $10. So when I say more than just Sunday, see, the church is your gas station. I don't know if you ever realized that or ever understood that or ever had that thought process in your mind. The church is your spiritual gas station. And when you come to church, see, we don't come to church with the idea of filling up with our spiritual gas station the way we go into a physical gas station. See, when you go into the physical gas station, you know what you want to do for you the rest of that week. See, we come to church and we spiritually fill up with no idea of how we want it to work for us. Come on, somebody. The rest of the week. See, when you come in, when you drive in and walk into the spiritual gas station, you should have in mind when you fill up what you want to do. You see, your spiritual gas station is supposed to help you fight the battle, the spiritual battle that's going to come the rest of the week. See, when you come into the spiritual gas station, you shouldn't get beat up on Monday morning. Yeah? Yeah, hey, you can agree with me. You can say amen. See, spiritually, when you come into the spiritual gas station, you shouldn't be on E when you walk out the door. Isn't that so? You shouldn't be on E. You should, when you fill up in the spiritual gas station and you get home and then you got to cook dinner or got to do what you got to do or got to deal with somebody, your needle shouldn't go from full to E on that one situation. Monday morning, your co-workers shouldn't put you on E. Yeah, even though they're going to try. Especially when they find out you went to church Sunday. More than Sunday morning. Because they know that you call yourself a Christian. They know that you was in church on Sunday, so they're just waiting for you on Monday. And they're waiting to see how much did you get. What good did it do you going to church? Hallelujah, somebody. How, How much spiritual gas did you are you going to get today? Are you now at this point half full? Are you now at this point a quarter full? Or is there anybody that can say, hey, amen, I got a full tank. Do I have any full tanks in here right now? I see one hand. So when you come in on more than just Sunday morning, when you come in, you should come in with a mindset that I'm gonna fill my spiritual tank up because I know that Jack's gonna be waiting for me tomorrow morning. And when I fill my spiritual tank up, I have got to be able to stand against the fiery darts that's going to come at me all week. I have got to be able to stand up against the enemy that's going to try to attack me all week. I mean, because see, if you are a Christian, you've got to know it's coming. Because you got to understand that the enemy is always on your trail. When you gave your life to Christ, the enemy, the adversary made it his purpose to be on your back, to be on your trail. The adversary made it his purpose. When you said that Jesus Christ was your Lord and Savior, when you turned your life over to Christ and he said to yourself that this is who I worship, this is who I adore, this is my God. See, my God is no longer the nightclub. Hallelujah. My God is no longer cigarettes. My God is no longer cursing. My God is no longer acting ugly. My God is no longer on Monday morning in the break room talking about what Mary Ann, what Jack, what Sue, what whoever did over the weekend. See, no longer I'm in that. Now my job is to be God's eyes, to be God's hand, to be God's feet, to be God's mouthpiece. And when you made that contract, somebody said, when you made that contract, the adversary automatically said, okay, I got your number. I'm going to see how much you can stand. And if you don't understand that, if you haven't gotten that in your mind by now, if you've been a Christian for a while and you still get upset because the adversary messed with you, let me tell you right now, your tank is not being filled on Sunday morning. Come on now. Yeah. You're not filling up your spirit tank. So guess what? Yes, hallelujah. See, we thank God because we got an opportunity every 7 days to fill our tank up. But not only on every 7 days to fill our tank up. See, spiritual tanks don't cost anything. So if you find yourself running low on Monday morning, just go into your spiritual closet and say, God, fill me up. Hallelujah. When you feel the adversary tugging at your coattail, trying to pull you down, say, God, fill me up. Yeah. You see, you don't have to pay. You know, when the gas price was $4 a gallon, you don't have to pay $4. When you pull into the gas station and the gas is $3.19, you don't have to pay $3.19. If it's $3.25, you don't have to pay $3.25. God says, my spiritual gas is free. So if you don't fill up spiritually, when you need to fill up spiritually, it's all on you. It ain't on God, because it's what? It's free. And it's free indeed. Hallelujah. You can fill up anytime. But I'm going to tell you, you should have, when you come to church, you should get enough gas, enough spiritual gas, to at least make it out the door. Ooh, come on now. You shouldn't come in here filled all up. See, I'm going to tell you, let me explain this to you. So you got to understand, when the tank is filled, you can't fill it up. Right? If you got a full tank of gas, you can't pull into the gas station and fill it up with gas again. Somebody got what I'm saying? When you come into the house of God and your spiritual tank is filled with everything else, when you come into the gas station, you filled up with sadness. The spiritual gas station. You come into the spiritual gas station, you filled up with defeat. You come into the spiritual gas station and you filled up with what happened to you all last week. You're still thinking about how your coworker talked about you. You're still thinking about how your boss treated you bad. You're still thinking about how your kids act ugly all week long. You're still thinking about how you didn't make enough money, how your paycheck didn't have enough money in it to do what you need to do for the rest of the week. You're coming in and you're still thinking about how your bank account is on zero and your light bill is due and you know how to fill it up. Hallelujah. See, all that stuff is supposed to have already been turned over to God before you come into his presence. It says, though, see, the Bible tells us that we can't come into his presence with all that kind of stuff. See, what should have happened? Let me explain. Can I explain it to you, somebody? What should have happened? Because you knew you was coming to church this morning. Sometime Saturday night, you should have went into your prayer closet and you should have shut off all of that stuff. So that when you came into the house of God, your tank was empty. Your cup was empty. So you can say what? Fill me up. That's what we're supposed to come in and say, fill me up, Lord. See, you can't say, fill me up, Lord, with a cup already filled with a whole lot of stuff. Yeah. You can't say, God, fill my spiritual tank. If your tank is, see, look, we don't understand this, but sadness is a spiritual, just like glad is a spirit. Happiness is a spirit. Love is a spirit. Joy is a spirit. And happiness, joy and love are spirits of God. Defeat, sickness, depression, fear, all those things are not spirit of God. So when you walk around all with all those things in your tank, God can't fill you up. Somebody say, amen, thank you, Jesus. So when you come into the house of God, you should come in empty. Come in seeking. Come in looking. Come in waiting. Come in receiving. Come in looking to be filled up spiritually so you can fight off all of the things. See, Jeremiah said it in chapter 29 and in verse 13 and 14, Jeremiah said it. He said that you will seek for me, and when you search for me with what? All of your heart. When you come in with an empty tank, when look for me, when you come in here looking with all of your heart, he said, that's when you will find me. Yeah. We cannot fully with all of our hearts search for God with our mind on the things of the world and its beating us down. We have to shake off of those things of the world and seek him with all. He said, not with half of your heart. See, even 99 and a half won't do. He says that when you seek me with all, somebody said all. He said, when it's all in your heart, he said, that's when you will find me. That's when you will find me, when you do it with all of your heart. See, God said that when you draw near to me, I will what? Draw near to you. See, what we do is we go out and looking for God. We are looking for God to draw, come near to us, but the nearness starts with us first. He said, when you seek me, when you search me, he said, that's when I will show up. How many of you want God to show up? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you want me to show up, you got to do it with what? All of your heart. You got to do it with everything that you got. Everything that you are. Every beam of you, you got to do it with all of that. He said, he says that when you do that, verse 14 says, when you do that, he said, then I will let you find me. Yeah. I will let you find me when you get to that point. See, before you get to that point, I'm hidden from you. Until you get to that point, I'm hard to be found. But when you do it with all of your heart, that is when I will let you find me then. He says that, Jeremiah says, this message is from the Lord. This is not from me. So I'm saying the same thing to you today. What I'm saying today, that what I'm giving you is a message from the Lord. This message is not from me. This is a message from the Lord. This is God talking to you, whispering in your ear. This is what God wants you to hear today. Said, this message is from the Lord. And the Lord said, I will bring you back from your captivities, from the situation that you find yourself in, from the problem that you find yourself in, from the slavery that have overtaken you, from where you at, from the condition, from where you find yourself at right now. He says, I will bring you back from that captivity, from life that doesn't look like it's working out the way you want to work out, from life that don't seem like it is falling in place, from life that seems like everything you do something, you are going backwards instead of going ahead. He said, I will take you, I will bring you back from that captivity. He said, I will bring you back from that situation. See, what was happening then, the children of Israel had got to a point where they was no longer worshiping God the way they used to. They was half worshiping him. Some of them was worshiping small g gods. Some of them were worshiping God. Some of them had altars for other gods. Some of them, they see the children of Israel was doing. They got to the point where they really wasn't giving God all that they were, or giving God all that they had. The children of Israel was giving God, maybe some of them giving 50%, some 75%, some was maybe even giving 99 and a half. And because they was doing that, God allowed other people to come in and take them into slavery. You see, you don't understand, when you're not giving God everything that God wants you to give him, he allowed certain things to happen in your life. See, God, somebody understand, God is trying to get your attention right now. He is shaking you and saying, wake up. Yeah, like he did the children of Israel. Sometimes he allowed us to get into a situation. He said, I force you to leave this place, but I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have sent you. See what this scripture means to us today. Is when we are a child of God and we find ourselves in a condition We find ourselves in problems. We find ourselves where we're at that we don't want to be. We find ourselves looking and saying, God, where are you? See, what happened, God has allowed us to be taken to those places that we don't want to go. But God is saying that when you look for me, when you seek me, when you give me all. Yeah, 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 not just all on Sunday morning, because it's more than Sunday morning. It says, when the people see me in you on Monday, no matter how bad you get, no matter how the situation look, no matter how beat down you might feel, no matter how defeated you feel, no matter how far victory looks like it's in your grasp, God said, when people can see me, when you have a penny in your pocket, when people can see me, when your bank account is on zero, when people will see me in you and recognize that you are my child, no matter where you are, that is when I will gather you up and put you back in your rightful place. Then what is your rightful place? God has already told us what our rightful place. God has said that we are the head and not the tails. That's your rightful place. God has says that we are princes. We are princess. God is saying we are kings and queens. God has said that we are the owners of the business and not just the workers in the business. See, yeah, 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 you can work at a business, but you need to have your own business too. Ain't that right? God says that you are the reflection of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, like he told missionary Hemingway, she might not have realized that, but God said, when he told missionary Hemingway, whisper her ear, that COVID ain't got nothing over one of my people. God said, COVID can't defeat. God said, COVID cannot defeat a child of mine who is willing to give the tithe and offering. To give an offering from the business when the business don't look like it ain't doing no business. Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's what he said. He said, says the Lord, I will bring you back to this place of honor, to the place of joy, to the place of happiness, to the place of freedom. Like the song says, God says, I will bring you back when you're no longer a slave of fear. Hallelujah, somebody. He said, I gather you up and I bring you back. See, I will put you back up top. See, look. Look, God people, this is where God people are supposed to be. See, you as a child of God, you don't have to have a dollar in your pocket to look like a millionaire. It's all about attitude. See, God expects us to look like millionaires when our bank account is on zero. Yeah, see. See, your coworkers has got to look at you scratching your head. Your coworkers got to look at you scratching your head and say to yourself, I know she is, and she ain't doing better than I am. I know she barely making it. But how is she walking around this place smiling and singing and whispering and acting like she's at the top of the world? How is she doing it? I know she's down in the gutter. See, you don't care what they know, what happened, or what they think they know. Because in your mind, you ain't down there. In their mind, they might put you there. But as in a child of God, you ain't down there. They don't care where you at. You, as a child, you ain't in the gutter. So don't act like you in the gutter. Don't look like you in the gutter. Don't talk like you in the gutter. Don't behave like you in the gutter. Don't walk around like you in the gutter. Don't let them see you with a mindset that you in the gutter. Walk like you the vice president of the company. Hallelujah. I don't care if the place you work got a vice president or a president. Walk around that place like you own it. Because God says that I own all the cattle on all the hills. He said, even though there's a vice president walking around, I own this business. And he said, I can make this vice president, this president, do whatever I want him to do, whenever I want him to do. See, there's sometimes people going to have to promote you who don't want to promote you because God has made them promote you. Hallelujah. See, I can witness to that. Yeah. God already told me before I went on my job that before I leave my job that I would have the title of director. But see, I had the title in my mind, in my soul, in my spirit. I was a director of that company when I walked on the premises of that company the first day that they hired me, the first day that I showed up, the first day that I clocked in. God said, you are in a director. And my mind and my thought and my behavior and I walked around and I act like and I talk like a director. See, I might not have a sign that said director, but the people all around looked at me and thought that I was a director. For sure. Because my reflection, my attitude, was in the position that God said, and man tried all he wanted to keep me from getting to where God had already told me I was going to be. They passed over me about four or five times when director position. Four or five times. After the first time, I was a little bit down, but I was still happy. The second time, it was a little more, down in there, but I was still happy. But every day, every time they passed me over, I increased my acting like a director. Yeah, dress like one. Talk like one. Behave like one. Yeah. And after the fifth time, I said, God, you want me to increase my effort. See, that's what's got to happen. When the enemy beats you down, you got to say, God, increase my effort. When the enemy act like and think he got you on the run, say, God, increase my attitude. When the enemy think he got you defeated, say, God, increase my faith. Yeah. See. Before I retire, I don't know if I was a director for a year or not. I don't know how long it was. But before I retired and walked out that door, guess what? All of the behavior, all of the talks, all of the attitude paid off. And they finally had to. See, some of them didn't want to. But God, they couldn't be God. Because that's what God wanted. See, I'm telling you right now, God has planted you where you at for a particular reason. You might think you're around all the devils. Where else you think God can plant you at? God don't need to plant you in a business, in a job, in a place that everybody say. Why he need to plant you there? If you work in a company, everybody walking around there smiling and happy and hallelujah and thanking Jesus, you don't need to be in there. Ah, my goodness. That's right. They didn't put the Hebrew boys in the fire furnace for no reason. Daniel didn't go into the lion's den for any reason. All the heat that David took, he didn't take it for no reason. Joshua wasn't in a bad place for all the reason. Joseph didn't go in a pit just because God felt like putting him in a pit. He went in a pit. He went to prison before he got to the palace. Yeah. He went in a pit. He went into a pit. Get this. He went into a pit. He went into slavery. He went into prison before he went into the palace. See, when you go to work tomorrow and the first devil pops in your face, give a praise right then. And right there. Because guess what? That's an indication that God has got a plan for you. Yeah. You got to understand that. Don't be talking about God, why you put me in this place with all these devils. You got to say, God, yeah. Thank you for putting me in this place with all these devils. Because I know you're ready to show up and show out. And see, this is what gets me excited about it. This is what should get you excited about it. He's getting ready to use you to show up and show out. Is there anybody in here today want God to use you in your pit, in your slavery situation, in your prison to show up and show out? Is there anybody in here like Joseph was the second in command and nothing could happen unless Joseph said so? Come on, rest on your feet. Give God a praise as you stand up in this house today. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Because it's more than just Sunday. Hallelujah. It's more than just Sunday. This is your spiritual gas tank. Hallelujah. I want you to check yourself. Somebody check yourself. Check yourself. If you ain't filled up spiritual right now, I'm going to give you a couple seconds. I'm going to give you a couple seconds to get spiritual. As you understand what this is all about. Come on, give them some praise music. I'm going to give you a couple seconds to fill that tank the rest of the way up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the adversary is waiting for you. Soon you walk out that door. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for filling up my cup that it overflows. Today, God, I might not have all the finances I feel I need. I might not have the job I feel I need. I might not have been the place I feel like I need to be, but I got you. And today I realize that it's more than Sunday morning. Today I realize that this is my spiritual gas station. And as I drive into a physical gas station and watch my gas tank fill up with gas, today I'm watching my spiritual gas tank fill up spiritually so that I might be to fight off the enemies that are going to come at me today. The adversary, depression, sadness, sickness, defeat, all of those spiritual attitudes or spiritual beings that are not of you. I right now, God, know that with a filled tank that I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. I know I can and I will. Now, Father God, I give your name the praises because you are worthy of all of the praise. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who is always by my bedside, always by my side, always with me, on my job, in my car. Wherever it might be, your son, Jesus Christ, is always there by my side. Father God, now I know that when I'm feeling like I'm about to get on E, I can go into my spiritual closet and refill for free. No cost. Just waiting for you. Father God, you said that when I do that with all my heart, then you will let me find you. Because I know that there is a breakthrough in the searching. There's a breakthrough in the seeking. I know there is. So, Father God, I am declaring, receiving, accepting my breakthrough in this year of 2023. And it is so, because you said that it is so. I give you any praises because you're worthy of all of the praise. Name of the Father, name of the Son, and in your precious Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Amen. God loves you, and I love you too. Have a great day.